Welcome, and thank you for joining us for the NAHU Healthcare Happy Hour, the official podcast of the National Association of Health Underwriters. Before we begin, please take a moment to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or Spotify. The podcast is distributed on these platforms every Friday and is included in the NAHU's weekly member-exclusive health policy newsletter, The Washington Update, giving you a head start on your weekly healthcare happy hour. NAHU President Dane Reinhardt is looking for new and innovative ways to reach NAHU members like you. On this week's episode of the Healthcare Happy Hour, we are once again spotlighting NAHU's new President's Perspective podcast, hosted by NAHU President Dane Reinhardt and Membership Council Chair David C. Smith. Soon, you'll be able to subscribe to The President's Perspective on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify, just like the Healthcare Happy Hour. On this edition of The President's Perspective, Dane, David, and special guest and chair of NAHU Legislative Council, Scott Wham, review Dane's first month as president, the importance of telling your story to your legislators, the realities of a younger workforce, and the best cheesesteaks in Philadelphia.
Hey there, it's Dane Reinhardt, NAHU President, bringing you this month's President's Perspective, a conversation with current and future leaders of NAHU.
This is David Smith, Chair of the NAHU Membership Council and co-host for President's Perspective this year with your NAHU President, Dane Reinhardt.
So, Dane, since you've got a bunch of Daniacs now because of listening to the last podcast, how you feel nearly a month in now?
I feel great. We've set the vision as a Board of Trustees, and Vision 2025 plan is being worked, and everything that's being done is referred back to the plan. So we're working the plan and the plan's working us. And it's cliche, but it's very true and very proud of the foundation that Pat laid in that regard for getting that set up in its structure, along with Annette Spechtold's leadership in helping us continue to work through it.
What committees have really kind of stood out to you the last couple of weeks?
The one that jumps off the page at me is media relations. The bad analogy I've been using in some of these meetings is just, if we walked into anybody's house and looked at their kitchen organization, you or anyone else might question, why is that there? And why don't you have that over there? Or why aren't your forks closer to where you serve food and all those things? And so some of these things are just real simple that it's like, well, with Debbie Stock's leadership as chair now and Rachel Miner's support as vice chair, Rachel's got a very strong background on the social media side. And she just showed last Friday when we had a call with Kelly Lucidi's involvement as liaison on the staff side. There are just simple things like when we're, first of all, we're not consistently using Instagram and LinkedIn from NAHU's perspective. We are messaging out on LinkedIn, but not under the NAHU brand in the way that we probably can and should be. And then we can complement with other leaders on the staff side and also leaders on the volunteer side that have strong followings like yourself or Rachel or Janet, people that have a lot of people following them. But it's important that first and foremost, we're building out the NAHU brand. And so I think we can do a lot more just simply with LinkedIn. We can do more with social media like Instagram and others. But one other thing that's pointed out is let's have fun with it. You know, it's not, doesn't have to just be that this law was passed or we're pushing this through Congress, or it can be, you know, carpool karaoke or something like that. So stay tuned. Anything's possible down the road. And the folks on the media side are looking at having a lot of fun with this as well as streamlining it and being in a format where we're pushing out information and able to get information in a way that isn't just go to the website or did you get the email? And I won't get into that side of it, but there were some email distribution snafus on our first podcast and the way it was sent out. And if it had been on a LinkedIn or Instagram account, then we would have known it anyway. Since then, we've cleaned that up and it's a simple fix. Like I said, everything's simple fixes, but when you start the additive ability to have simple fixes times 10 or 12 a week, you get a lot done. So we've done a lot and it's just been really simple and people doing their collective work and helping us get things done on the volunteer and on the staff side.
I just noticed that we've been joined by the Whamster himself, Scott Wham, Chair of Legislative Council. Hey, Scott, how are you today?
Yo, Dave. Hey, Dane. How you guys doing?
Good, Scott. Thanks for bombing in. Glad you could join us.
Yeah, no, thanks for the invite.
Yeah, I didn't tell Smith because I thought it would be more fun if you just showed up. So I'm planning on doing this more often, just inviting people and not telling him so we can make it more interesting. So I'm going to change it up, Mr. Smith. I'm going to be asking a question here. And please, once I ask my only question I can think of, jump back in, David, with being the real smart person in this podcast outside of Scott. But Scott, you know, the last time we saw you and heard from you on a national front from the membership side was at CAP conference, right as things were gearing up for COVID. So fortunately, we were able to have that event. You did an outstanding job of running that. That was terrific. I think one of the question I have is, from a legislative perspective, how do we functionally operate from getting our message to folks on the Hill? And then from a member side, any advice you have to them as they continue to talk to people in their local and state areas and how that might bleed potentially into the end of the year and possibly even into Capitol Conference?
It's a great question, Dane. Right now, I think that where we really need our members to be engaged with the national legislative team is providing boots on the ground insight into what they're experiencing within their client base out in the world. I gave a webinar to the membership back in May. And one of the points that I tried to make during the webinar was viruses don't spread uniformly. And at the time, New York was having a heck of a time with the virus, but the other parts of the country was relatively quiet. We need to have some type of insight into what's going on in our different regions. Are we seeing layoff patterns? Are we seeing furlough patterns? Are we seeing carriers making significant accommodations to try to keep people on their plan? Where are you seeing employers embracing life rafts? Where are you seeing individual consumers having difficulties? We need to wrap our heads around what's actually going on out there so that we can go and sell the story on Capitol Hill regarding the type of programs we need to have implemented to keep our clients afloat and to keep people insured. If there's one objective of the legislative team at NAHU, and that includes the staff, you know, Marcy, John, and Chris, it's to work to build as many life rafts as our industry needs in order to keep everybody afloat. It's an all hands on deck moment. We need a variety of perspectives. We need the perspectives from those who are in Medicare, from those who are selling individual policies, from those who are working predominantly with employers, so that we can have some objective basis for what we're asking for. You know, is it the case that within your book of business, a certain vertical is having a more challenging time? Is it the case within your book of business that a given employee population that you encounter is having certain types of challenges that we should be aware of? The more we can paint the picture on Capitol Hill regarding what we're experiencing every day, I think the better off we're going to be in the long run, especially going into such a contentious election cycle where we're trying to preserve the private health insurance market. And it's going to be really difficult for Democrats to avoid a conversation about some major healthcare reform measure. So we really want to get that data, share it with your regional leadership. If you're experiencing a pattern or if you see a pattern that we should be aware of, we need those stories so that we can tell the most compelling message possible on Capitol Hill.
The first part of that information share, I think, is something that, I mean, to dumb it down some, I really think the request, as I've heard it from Ledge, is we want people to tell us where you have employers who are hurting and have specific stories, because that's the kind of stuff that we believe we can help folks on Capitol Hill understand, folks in the White House understand the specific needs that their clients are finding, because that's the best place we can serve the greatest good right now. Is that right?
I think that that's a perfect summation of what the ask is. I think that what you find when you go on Capitol Hill, Dave, and you've done it 1,000 times, and Dane, you've done it 1,000 times, is that there are very few on Capitol Hill who really fully understand what we do, who fully understand what it is a consultant in our industry does, either in the individual market, Medicare market, the employer-sponsored market. And by sharing these stories regarding what we've gone through the past 4 months with our clients, we paint a picture of value in our industry that a lot of representatives and lawmakers are not aware of. I think anybody who's listening to this podcast who is working as a consultant over the past 4 months can tell you that the furthest thing from a primary conversation we were having was placing an actual insurance product. I mean, for the past 4 months, it's been, how do we help companies navigate the CARES Act? How do we help them navigate FFCRA paid sick leave? How do we help them with worksite safety issues? How do we help them access their appropriate clinical resources? How do we help them transition to work from home? How do we set up things like telehealth and mail order prescription drug coverage and all the things that you need to transition to a remote workforce and survive this type of experience? I think that all the stories that they have to tell paint a very valuable picture of our association and of our industry, and it establishes credibility that we really understand what's going on out in the world and that they should view us as a resource to help get the country through this experience.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it just seems clear that sometimes we miss that the live, straightforward story really does change people's perspective. So I love that. I love that strategy. And let me just take a break and acknowledge this week's sponsor, which is Technicolor, looking for more colors for Dane to wear.
All right, I've got a question. My turn. So Scott, on a more serious note, two questions having to do with cheesesteaks. In Philly, your favorite place to get one and the best one you've had that's not in Philadelphia.
Ooh, the best cheesesteak of the two that everyone kind of thinks of, Pat's and Gino's. I'm a Pat's guy. Okay. I'm definitely a Pat's guy. I really like Tony Luke's too in Philly, but unfortunately Tony Luke's just had a bit of a legal issue this past week where I don't know if Tony Luke's going to be around that much longer. Pretty substantial unpaid IRS bill. So, but hey, if you're in Philly, get Pat's, Gino's, and Tony Luke's and do your own taste test. They're all worth the trip. You'll gain about 5 pounds. Really fits into my overall health and vitality strategy for healthcare reform. But, I'd say that Tony Luke's and Gino's and Pat's are a pretty significant cog in the health trajectory of Philadelphia. Outside of Philly, though, Lee's Hoagie Shack is my favorite cheesesteak. Lee's has about 9 locations in the 5-county area of Philadelphia. So if you're ever in the suburbs of Philly, check out Lee's Hoagie Shack. Now we need to,
get them as a sponsor.
Now we need to get them to sponsor us. Yeah. That's
right. Philly humor just escapes me sometimes. It's like 1 second they're laughing, the next second they're throwing bricks at you.
It's a passionate town, man. It took those passions to found this whole party we call America, Dave. Don't you forget it.
So, Dave, you recently sent me a graphic with NEHU Together, which I know you're using as part of your email. And just tell us a little bit more about the inspiration behind it and how you can see us using that, you know, as members.
I mean, I think it's one of those ideas. I have to give Eugene credit for, President-elect Eugene Starks. He sent me a really interesting podcast about people being together and how difficult that is and how so much of that's one of the symptoms of people's state of mind in this time. And it just struck me as a theme that really seemed important for us as an association. And, you know, really, I think we're going to encourage folks to add that NEHU Together tagline, because I think it really ties together all the things that we do from advocacy. I think a lot of the information that Scott wants is about the stories that we have with our clients and how together we're sharing and collecting those and getting them to Capitol Hill. How the work we're doing from a professional development perspective is right in that same vein. How we're here working to try and take care of each other during these very difficult times with the kind of agent-to-agent support system and the fundraising efforts. So I just think ultimately the idea that we're stronger together as professionals is really important and serves the central theme of, I think, what NEHU is all about. So it not only says to our clients that we're together, but it also says to other agents who aren't members that they're welcome to come join together with us as well.
Is there a way that people listening to this can get that graphic?
Yeah, we're going to try and get an email out. Maybe work.
Can we blast it through social media?
Yep, that's a good idea. So
let's not use email and test social media and just push it out that way.
It's a good idea.
Instagram, LinkedIn.
You're such a great idea guy. We're so lucky to have you as president.
Look at this. It's amazing.
No, I mean, I always think this is good. I think the more people hear it and know that what we're doing, and again, this is fun. I mean, to me, that's one of the great parts of what we're doing. That it's not just some task. Opportunity to be in leadership and to be a part of NHU is fun for all of us. So,
Dave, I couldn't imagine a more important time to be part of the association. I couldn't imagine an experience that shines a bright light on the value of the association, but more importantly, the value of the members of the association. And what all of our members are out there doing right now in this moment is really trying to be at the forefront of getting people across this crisis. And I am confident that when we come out the other end of this, hopefully at some point early in Q1 of next year, that we will have definitively established our value proposition and that there will be significant opportunity for us to grow and for us to adapt and for us to bring a lot of new ideas to the table that our learning experience is informed by what we're going through right now. Think about all the support we've garnered on Capitol Hill for telemedicine, which we've been asking for a long time, you know, for Capitol Hill to pay attention to telemedicine and direct primary care contracting and all the things that we've been out there talking about for the past few years. Now this crisis has shown that, yeah, you know what, maybe it is a good idea that putting a government incentive on top of virtual care. Maybe it is a good idea to drag some Department of Labor regulatory guidance into the 21st century and free up some flexibility with electronic communications that leverage smartphones. Maybe it is a good idea that we broaden our conversation about chronic disease and the experience that individuals who are, I'm using air quotes right now, in a high-risk category have with COVID-19 versus those who live a generally healthy lifestyle. I think that there's going to be so much opportunity on the back end for our members to grow through this crisis. And I think I don't see any way we don't come out much stronger on the other side.
I agree, Scott. And one of the things that what you're alluding to indirectly is that this forced change on us in the way that we're living our lives and practicing our professions is going to allow for so much opportunity. And some of the changes that have been necessary for NHU to grow and thrive are coming out of an openness inside of the membership to do things different and consider things differently, including our board, such as the change to just how we're structuring the membership council moving forward. And some of the other ideas, there's just a much greater receptivity to all of that. And I would like to think that while we're printing trillions and trillions of dollars, that the folks on Capitol Hill would come up with legislative incentives to things like direct primary care on a tax-favored basis so that we can continue to do these things after the pandemic is under control.
You know, one of the challenges, and Dave, you can probably speak to this pretty well, but I know one of the challenges that I have at my local chapter, I've been involved with the Greater Philadelphia Association for almost 10 years now. One of the problems, the challenges that we have, I don't want to say it's a problem, but one of the challenges we have is really cultivating new young members within the association and getting younger professionals excited about what we do. Think about all the opportunities for innovation where our association and our industry is going to benefit from the insight of our younger membership. Think about all the areas that they may be viewing the world differently through utilization of different social media platforms or different technologies that for those of us who have been in the industry for a little bit longer, may be overlooking. So again, I look at this moment as a chance to grow our membership among a demographic that quite frankly, at the local level, we've struggled to appeal to. And by reframing this crisis as, hey, an opportunity to say, what ideas do you have? What do you have that's going to help a business or an individual navigate insurance markets and purchasing and accessing healthcare in the new world on the other side of this crisis? So Dave, I'm interested in your perspective on the attraction of perhaps a younger demographic into the association and opportunities that you see with them.
I do think that that's an important cog missing. And I think, you know, we talk a lot about millennials, and now with me having a 23-year-old and a 20-year-old, I realize we're also going to have a lot of Gen Z start to come into the workplace. And I think that there's different perspectives, different needs. And I think an essential element of what we do going forward will be listening and learning to expectations, but also making sure that agency owners or managers are aware of how to find that right balance. we've done some good stuff on the running your business side, but I think we've got to do a lot of listening, which feeds into other projects that we're doing, and then do a really good job of communicating and preparing our members for what's coming. We really are in a place now where there are four distinct generations of people working in a lot of agencies, and all with different motivations, all with different stages in life. And, you know, when we look at not only the COVID-19 impact on employers, but also when we look at issues of diversity and inclusion and how that will really fundamentally change the workplace, I believe, in the next 3 years, I think all of that is an important part, important role that we can play for our members and for our profession. Ultimately, by setting the bar of what our profession can be and should be doing, we ultimately make it bigger, better, and stronger. And more importantly, I think it's an area where we avoid unnecessary regulations or scrutiny because we're acting appropriately. And I think all those things are essential to what we do as an association.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Dave. You know, I think back to things that we were doing that are now just aligning through all this, like Vanguard Goes to College. The intent was there. It was a great concept that was a challenge to execute. But with the DEI coming in, the Diversity, Equity, Inclusion Task Force being appointed, I do hope on behalf of the association that potentially we can do our part in grabbing the tail and wagging the dog of our industry so that some of those Gen Zs go into college and come out wanting to be in our business because we're a place that thinks and acts and feels like they want to grow a career.
Well, thanks for our listeners. Thanks for all the Daniacs who are loving the podcast. If you all have questions or anything, Dane will close by reminding you of his cell phone number so you can text or call him, and let us continue to do a good job of representing you and our members, our profession throughout the country.
Yeah, call or text me. Text is preferable, 410-746-5281. We're going to continue to do this a little more frequently and shooting to do this now closer to every other week instead of once a month.
For all the Ravens and the Eagles fans, no love lost here, but Scott, also really appreciate you being on the call.
Yeah, and thanks for having me, guys. Thanks, always man. Great talking to you guys.